Here will come Blake Bortles. You will hear the crowd. You hear them already. It's a standing ovation, folks. It's a standing ovation. Listen to the crowd. I'll let them tell you. Shotgun formation for Bortles and the Jags. They blitz. It's an all-out blitz. Pump fake. Lots of time. Now he fires. Complete to Allen Robinson. Robinson gets away. To the 35, to the 40. Past the 45-yard line. All the way out to the 47-yard line. Something special happening. Rookie to rookie. All the way to the 47. That's 22 yards and a first down. Bortles takes. Play fake this time. Oh, they're going to get him. He got away from the blitz. Look at this. And now he's going to throw it down the field for Will Tofoa. And it's caught. It is caught by Will Tofoa. All the way out to the 46-yard line by all rights. They had it dead to rights. Bortles spun away from it. And a 25-yard gain to his fullback. Empty backfield now for Blake Bortles. Two receivers to either side plus a tight end. Straight drop. Fires to the middle of the field. That's Hearns. He makes a catch into Colt territory. Still on his feet. Allen Hearns is loose. Allen Hearns is inside the 20-yard line. He got away. Allen Hearns is going to score a touchdown for the Jaguars. He broke a few tackles and got it to the end zone. How do you like that?
He'll get the opportunity next week again. Now, like we said, I think it's time to start building Blake's body of work on the field.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, glad you're on board. Fat Tony put that together. The question, Ryan, did the Blake Bortles era start or did the Frank Frangie highlight era start yesterday?
No question.
And now today.
Double F.
Jaguars Today. I mean, really, it's all about Frank Frangle at this point in time. And that's a little inside the business.
Hey, you know, Frank gets, yeah, it's good. At least Frank had something to be excited about yesterday.
He absolutely did have something to be excited about. Jag fans finally had something to be excited about yesterday. It took a miserable first half to sit through, and for the ones who stuck it out, good on you. You know, because I think a lot of people had had enough. They had seen enough. It was 30-0. You couldn't stop the Indianapolis Colts. This defense is beyond concerning. Mm-hmm. Right now, you look at the first three games of last year. 102-28 is what the Jags' deficit was. So they weren't scoring quite as many points. They weren't giving up quite as many. The deficit was 74 points through three games. You thought, well, it can't get worse than that. Well, 119-44 this year, the deficit is 75 points.
12th worst in NFL history through three games.
12th worst. So I guess last year is 13th.
37th.
Really? That many?
Yeah, there was a big
bunch
tie
of teams
there.
Tied up together. Yeah. Okay.
So, and that surprised me too, because I was expecting to see Jags 2014, Jags 2013.
Right, back to back.
But this defense is broke. This free agent season was built on, they're going to play a rookie quarterback at some point this year. Let's see if they can win some close games, and by stopping people and the quarterback, which turned out to be Blake Bortles, makes some plays. Right now, he's going to have to throw for 500 yards on Sunday in San Diego to win the game. And that's not going to happen. So,
wait a minute. What do you mean that's not going to happen? You mean in the first half? This is Blake Bortles we're talking about, Ryan O'Halloran. Have you not just bought into the frenzy? Come on. All seriousness. 223 in the second half after 33 passing yards in the first half. Pretty impressive.
No, he was good. I mean,
I know what you're saying. It's a lot to overcome. There's a lot of issues with this football team.
He's going to have to be dynamite as all get out for this team to win a game the way this defense is currently playing.
I gotcha. I'm just playing along a little bit there. But no, seriously, it's broke. Ryan, what is it? I mean, you got two guys that, you know, Clemens and Bryant, who started for a Super Bowl champion last year. I don't think their games have fallen off the cliff that quickly. So Derek Marks was the best player on defense last year. He should be coming right into his prime right now. Paul Posluszny, you know, it was a Pro Bowl alternate last year. You've got this young secondary with another year of maturity, and you're right, they can't cover anybody. They can't stop the run. Teams are coming in here, and the commentary around the National Football League about how, you know, the Jaguars are presenting no resistance whatsoever. They've been compared to a JV team, a laughing stock, on and on and on, and it's hard to dispute any of it right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's all accurate because these people out there from afar just look at the basic numbers. And
we do the same thing. If this was going on in Arizona,
I mean,
or
we're making
wherever.
Fun of, we're, if the Jags were competitive yesterday, we'd be making fun of Tampa Bay, Oakland, you know, Oakland's a little bit better yesterday, but 0-3
Yeah, Oakland
teams.
Was competitive. Oakland's not in this conversation this week based on yesterday.
I mean, you look at defense, it looks like it's just a system-wide breakdown. Chris Clemens has been a non-factor the last two games. I mean, he had one good half against Philly, like a lot of these guys. Dwayne Allen's a tight end, was taking care of him yesterday. That's a problem. Because they're getting into pass rushing situations. They're not getting to the quarterback. And I mentioned before, Lori Reynolds on the first series of the game had the free run on Andrew Luck, whiffed on him. Luck makes a play happen, a 9 yards throw or something like that.
Right,
so,
but that wasn't that,
yeah,
was
gave
that
it to Reggie Wayne.
Right, that was that a third down?
That was a first down. They brought a blitz. It was after they got a first down on their first series of plays. On the second first down of that series, they brought a blitz up the middle. Leroy was completely free and just ran past Luck.
Yeah.
Just ran past him.
And he threw in 5.56 seconds.
Which is an eternity in the NFL.
Yeah. So there's just it's befuddling because you would think the reputations of the personnel are better than last year, but maybe they're not playing up to their personality.
And even if their reputations for some of these young guys, they should just be better another year in the scheme. They should be positioned better. And that's the thing that's as disturbing as anything to me is, well, you know, here's the facts of the matter. The Jags are tied for the league lead in sacks. Okay. Guys are just wide open all over the field. Mm-hmm. You know, every time you looked up and the ball's in the air, oh, it's a wide open receiver. We sitting here yesterday in the Jaguar studios, we're listening to the game broadcast, which is a few seconds ahead of TV. And so you're watching the feed and you're hearing Frank on the call and it's just, oh, that guy is so wide open. And you're like, it can't be that wide open. And then you watch the play a couple seconds later and it's worse than it even sounds.
I mean, shallow crosses shouldn't be unstoppable.
No.
I mean, across the formation, that's just one of the things. I mean,
they're pretty unstoppable if you give them 4 seconds to throw the shallow cross. I mean, and that's the kind of time we're talking about. You just said 5.5 seconds for Reggie Wayne on that play where Leroy Reynolds could have got that sack. And I know the 3rd and 3 where Reggie Wayne came all the way across the field, I was watching it going, look, if they're not going to get any pressure on a 3-step drop like that, then yeah. The Jaguars are never going to defend that play because they don't have a linebacker that can run with Reggie Wayne across the entire formation.
Then that goes into the scheme problem. If I'm them, I just play dime the whole game now. If they're gonna, if a team's gonna play three receivers,
if you can't get to the quarterback anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to avoid mismatches in this game. Paul Posluszny and Reggie Wayne is a mismatch you want to avoid.
How many plays do they have over 20, 21 yards?
72.
It felt like
at least 10.
Yeah, I think the number might have been 12. Yeah. I was looking at the recap today. Might have been something like that. You're right. It felt like 72.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they had it whenever they wanted.
I mean, too many times this year and over the last 2 years, you can use the phrase, they did whatever they wanted.
And it's pretty applicable. You know, when you score on every drive in the first half, that's as applicable as it becomes in the National Football
League. Just toying with teams.
All right, if you want to get in today, and imagine some of you do, talk about the defense, certainly talk about the new quarterback, the starting quarterback. Blake Bortles will make his debut on the road against the San Diego Chargers coming up next Sunday. 641-1010, the number as it is every day. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony here as well. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Simple one for you today. New quarterback, 13 games left. How many wins does that equate to for your Jacksonville Jaguars? Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren as well. It's Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. We'll be looking back at Week 3 in the National Football League and your Jacksonville Jaguars. Jump on board at 641-1010 here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
Break the huddle, man!
Jaguar coaches, Jaguar players, Jaguar experts. Live from Everbank Field. So yeah, you're in the right spot. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is Coach Gus Bradley.
Well, you won't be great till you do your job.
On your flagship station for Jaguars football, 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Okay, I picked the wrong word. It was one of two words, Tony, for the theme today.
Uh-huh.
Okay, listen to Future Leaders of the World every day. Obviously, the future is the theme today.
Future!
I had written down hope. Those were the two possibilities, hope or future, that the theme would be today. So, Lauren, starting me off with a softball on Monday. Thank you very much, LB.
You are welcome.
You did a terrific job, by the way, on the pregame.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of fun.
Thanks. I thought y'all did a great job. Y'all had the hard job.
Well, I thought you did a better job. So
you're just happy because I brought you a breakfast burrito.
I am very happy you brought me a breakfast burrito. It was, and I'm particularly happy with the group that cooked those breakfast burritos.
Absolutely. Thank you, Keith.
I would suggest you talk to Keith and company every home game.
I think I will, actually, because he told me that they plan a different menu every week. So it's going to be something delicious.
Why mess with what works? That thing had every breakfast item. I think it had some Fruit Loops in there. It was very
good. Well, next time it won't be breakfast. It'll be early afternoon.
Which, next home game?
Oh, no, yeah, I guess you're right. It's the same time. I'll be doing stuff this Sunday too, so that's why I'm thinking that way.
Yes, you will. You can bring me food next week too if you'd like. It's really up to you as far as that goes. So the future has arrived in the person of Blake Bortles. It is a weird day, Ryan. It's, in all seriousness. I mean, this is the anticipated moment. There is a lot of hope and enthusiasm for what you saw from the quarterback. And the bottom line is if Blake Bortles turns out to be as good as his ceiling could be. Let's say he becomes the 10th best quarterback of the National Football League. That's pretty damn good, by the way.
That means you're a $17, $18 million a year player.
Right. That's a lofty status. Yeah. You start listing the top 10, even 15 quarterbacks. I think the top half of quarterbacks are very good in the NFL. Really get shaky in that bottom 10 or 12. Mm-hmm. And then you got a few guys that in any given week, you know, are a little Jekyll and Hyde. Maybe more than a few. But that's going to, you hit that pick if you're Dave Caldwell, you can miss on a lot of other stuff. You agree?
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Because, and I thought this last week as the reason why they should have went to him as a starter against Indy, and Gus said it after the game, he has an ability to lift the guys around him to play at another level. Because there's something about that. If you have confidence in that guy under center, no offense against Chad, but he had just run its course. Guys play better. Now, does the defense answer that bell? Do they rally around the rookie quarterback next week? Remains to be seen. But if you, I think if this would, it would have been a lot different situation if they would have went to Bortles and he would have like pulled out the win. You know, now you're just sort of focusing all on him, which is all we have to talk about at this point.
Right. Well, I'll say that as far as the defense goes, you could talk about, you know, three and outs and all of it building up right from the beginning. The Colts were marching down the
no
field.
Pulse.
Right, nothing, right? So, I mean, when you start the game, okay, last week is last week, and it's the home opener, and you got a great environment, and you're only 0-2, and you're playing an 0-2 team, and nothing. There's just nothing. I don't blame, you know, I don't think it was the defense's, going, oh, here we go again. I mean, you can't make that excuse, I don't think, in the first couple drives of the game.
I mean, third play of the game, they do their job on first down. 2-yard run, incomplete on second. So you get 3rd and 8 at the Colts 22. Tight end catches 9-yard pass. I think right at the line of scrimmage turns upfield, so somebody didn't get there close enough. It's like, can one third down conversion take the air out of the building? Yes, because here we go again. You know, granted they stopped, made a stop, but enforced the field goal, but the signs were there. I mean, they're finding the tight end. They're throwing quick. They didn't need to run it. They just, you know, Luck just pitched and catched. And you know the reason he didn't have like 15, 16 straight completions? Because Foligno dropped the touchdown later.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and that's as wide open as you get in the National Football League.
Yeah.
That Foligno was there.
Yeah, and the bad part is you look at when you're a defense like that, you look at options personnel-wise. Okay, do you give that guy a shot? Maybe he can elevate somebody else's play. What do you do? I mean, do you put, you know, you know, Demetrius McCray's not ready for every down duty, so you don't put him instead of Dwayne Gratz or Alan Ball. What do you do at linebacker? Dakota Watson hasn't distinguished himself since he got a shot to play.
No, you've got what you've got at this point.
So,
but as we said yesterday in the postgame, the cavalry is not coming.
No.
You got to play better. But that's the thing. And you know, Fred Taylor said yesterday, where does it begin? He says the chalkboard. You know, you got to get back to basic. I mean, I don't know what else you could say. I mean, there's no one sweeping change that I think you can make. I mean, I suppose Gus Bradley taking over play calling on defense, but in terms of personnel, there's no change. really that is there to be made.
No, and so that goes to the scheme. That goes to the coaching. Okay, devise new ways. Okay, if you think you're putting the players in the best spot to make plays, well, then you got to rethink it because they're not making any plays. Because when they don't miss tackles, they're nowhere near a guy. So, okay, do you change? I mean, do you run, you know, just thinking out loud, do you run some more three-man fronts to keep things in front of you a little bit? Do you set a ton of pressure at an immobile guy like Philip Rivers, who's also very savvy?
Right, you go really one way, one extreme or the other,
and,
right?
At this point, this head coach is not into extremes, but why not just go toward that line a little bit, you know? I mean,
because what you're doing right now is not working.
And that's the reason why.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You want to give fans the impression that you're trying.
Well, I think you want to be trying, and I hope they realize, you know what I mean? I don't think the idea is, let's just give them the impression that we're trying. I think the idea is, let's try, and let's hope that they recognize our efforts.
I mean, right now, I have them as blitzing on 12.7% of the dropbacks. Last year, they're at 19%, and it felt like they never blitzed at all.
Right.
So, you know, an extreme would be what the Redskins did the other week, was like 60%. Well, why not just try 25%? Depending on this, there were plenty of opportunities yesterday, first and 10, second and long, third and medium, where you could have sent some pressure and see what happened.
Sure. All right, let's get to the phone. 641-1010, your chance to react on a Monday, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Jimmy, going to lead us off today. Hi, Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, boys, how we doing?
Good. You're the first caller of the Blake Bortles era, Jimmy. How about that?
Oh, look at that, man. I'll take that all day, baby. Well, a couple things I wanted to touch upon was the defense. I mean, the tight ends that we've gone up against, Niles, or, you know, Dwayne Allen, Colby Cleaner, these guys, they're catching everything, and they're wide open. Paul Paul's loves me. He can't cover anybody. It's really bad. And I don't understand why they're allowing that to happen. I mean, I think that this is where Gus is actually going to have to visit. He's going to have to make his money. This is where Gus is going to have to prove to us what kind of head coach he's going to be, because the defensive scheme that he and the defensive coordinator are going to have to come up with to stop, I mean, one of the best tight ends to ever play the game next week in San Diego. Oh, and by the way, his backup's not terrible either. That's going to dictate the pace of the game, because now our cornerbacks have to come down and play coverage, and they're outsized and outmatched against bigger men. Now you got two. They're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. They're going to run the hell out of the football. We're going to get burned out down the middle a lot if we don't adjust it. There's no way that. And once our offense starts playing better, our defense is going to start playing better. So the checks and balances have to be there equally. As far as Blake Bortles, that spin around turn dump down to the fullback was exactly the start and the thing that this franchise needed just to get back on track, just to regain its focus. Did you guys see that play? I've never seen anybody make a play that. It just adjusts, keep his eyes down the field, and throw the ball. It's a 20-yard complete. It's beautiful. That's what we need. That's exactly what we have to have, and that's exactly what he's going to provide for us, guys. I'll take it off the air. You guys have a good one.
All right, Jimmy, thank you. You know, the thing about these tight ends, I mean, Zach Ertz, I think, is a promising player. They had a shootout yesterday with Philadelphia. He caught one or two passes. He's not, you know, he's not Jimmy Graham. He's not Julius Thomas. You know, Dwayne
he's
Allen.
Not Antonio Gates.
Dwayne Allen didn't catch a pass last week.
Right.
Okay. You know, no, he's not into, so it's been
11
Niles
for 102
Paul,
with two touchdowns.
Niles Paul seems to have some chemistry going right now, with Kirk Cousins, but he's the backup. You know, these guys are not elite players, and they're just getting shredded by that position.
Yeah. I mean, like, Hayes Carolina wrote a great story on that about the tight ends, their cumulative stats.
Yeah. Saw that last week.
Gus disputed that theory. He says, you know, he didn't think it was a problem. You know, he said, well, was it man or zone? Well, what's the coverage? What's the route? You know, there's a lot of things that go into it.
Bottom line is the tight ends put up big numbers against his team every week.
Name the number. I mean, if I'm Antonio Gates, I'm having a Canton week.
You would think, right? He already had one of those this year, and that was against Seattle. You know,
first ballot Canton week.
By the way, this is the team. Seattle looked very good yesterday. That was a very good game with Denver. Yesterday, an entertaining one to watch, and which is why the NFL schedules press conferences for Friday afternoon, so you forget about the content of said press conference, and you can focus on the games on Sunday. Seattle worked, San Diego worked Seattle last week at home physically.
Seattle never had the ball.
No,
it was like San Diego here last year.
Right.
For 37 minutes against the Jaguars.
And that's what you're going up against coming up next week. Let's go to Nick next up, 641-1010. Nick, you're on Jaguars today. Go ahead, please.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Just the defense was sometimes doing their job until they got the third down. It's like they forgot how to defend. And the play the Colts did all the time was they'd run streaks and then have the running back just go out in the middle on like a little draw pass and would get 15 yards just about every time. Now, the offense side, I think Chad Henne is getting the bad end of the stick on this. Not saying that he was doing a great job or anything, but the fans, it's like half the fans just don't know football. And last week, when you take 10 sacks, I don't care if Peyton Manning's back there. If he doesn't have more than 2 seconds to pass the ball, there's nothing he can do. And like this week, when he's getting booed, when they're running the ball, that's also not his play call. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't want to see Bortles. Put Bortles in. They put him in yesterday. I think he did an okay job. He obviously had the two picks. And early, I think he was just flustered. He had two passes that he just threw up. But I think they're putting him in is also a good thing because they're going in the right side. They're going in the right direction, everything like that. But I think the Chad Henne kind of just got the fans just didn't treat him right. And, I mean, yeah, he didn't have the greatest record here, but he was doing everything he could to develop the players. And he was Blake Bortles' biggest fan yesterday when he went in, and I just feel like he's just getting destroyed by everybody. But
NFL's
I'll take answers
fair.
Offline. But
all right, no, thanks, Nick. What's
the NFL is not fair. You know, Chad knew the deal. I mean, they're gonna
see. To me, that booing was as much that was like, at the coaching staff.
That was I think that was a blanket booing.
Organization wide
yes.
booing. We
yes.
you have failed to see what we feel is the obvious. At the quarterback position, we're getting the same old, the defense stinks. I didn't think it was just, we're booing Chad Henne. I think it was his presence, but it was the decision by Gus Bradley to continue with his presence that was being booed as much
as
anything.
Especially, I feel like, the second or third, three and out, the boos were directed, the We Want Bortles chant wasn't directed at Chad Henne.
Right.
That was directed at the head man, saying, change the quarterback. And what she did at halftime. So, I mean, and I totally agree with you. Yesterday was a booing at the culture, the entire organization.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't any one player.
Right. And you're right. Chad, and I'll say this for Chad. Chad's been as pro about this situation as you can be.
Yeah.
And you're right. He did know going in. Doesn't make it any easier. I don't think when you're out there and you know that they want nothing to do with you and you are who you are. You know, they decided to give you the contract. You're going out there. You're trying your best. It's not like he's making catastrophic mistake after, he's not throwing a bunch of pick sixes. He's not playing well. He's not escaping pressure. But it was more than Chad Henne that I think that was directed at.
And it was the only thing that hadn't changed. Honestly, it was the only thing on the offense that hadn't changed the first three games of the season was the quarterback position. We've seen the wide receiver position in flux. Cecil Shorts finally playing in that game yesterday for a half, at least with Chad Henne. The tight end position's obviously a mess. They changed their center and their right tackle again this week. The only thing that hadn't been tried, Denard Robinson. Everyone's been clamoring for Denard Robinson to get an expanded role in this offense. Well, he did in the first half yesterday, and the only thing that hadn't changed was the quarterback. And the fans have been begging for it for 6 weeks, not just three. And they finally were, it's the first time they had been home with all this going on. They had had enough, and I understand why. It was awful. They got 55 yards in the first half, and that's because Indianapolis wasn't defending the run for the last 30 seconds. They got 40 yards in that half of football. It was
they
absolutely
had 28
terrible.
Until they hit Mike Brown on the play,
right.
which he fumbled
yes.
it right back.
That ruined it. We had a great chart going.
Worst.
34 was the
34 was the right the low mark.
There, the Mike Brown put him over the top, and then as Tony said, the garbage time or end of first half run.
Let me get Kay in here quickly before we break. Hi, Kay. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys? Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to say, it's not all doom and gloom. We still have 13 games left. We get Ace Sanders back soon. We get Aaron Colvin back. Clay Harbor. We'll be back. We're getting Dakota Watson acclimated. Things are going to pick up. There's 13 games left. And if Tom Coughlin can take a team to the AFC Championship in his second year when the Jags had no identity and no one thought that we can do it with Mark Brunell was fresh-faced, I think that we can do it this year. Steve Beuerlein mentored Mark, and Chad Henne just mentored Blake Bortles. So I believe that we can do it. 13 games left, guys.
All right, Kay. Kay's got the pom-poms.
Gus Bradley will be replaying that phone call to the team on Wednesday.
As will everyone in the organization. They're going to frame that one if it's possible. You don't really want me to go man for man on that 96 team versus this roster at this point in time. Trust me on that one. Look, I'm great. I'm glad you've got that great enthusiasm. That's fantastic. But I think Ace Sanders is coming back in to save the offense. It's not. Look, Allen Robinson has continued to get better. He had 10 targets yesterday, had a very solid game. I look for his role to continue to expand. Ace Sanders will barely see the field on offense right now. When you've got Cecil Shorts, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and if Marquise Lee comes back healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. And punt returns, I mean, this team can't stop anybody, so they're not going to give up.
Yeah, you didn't force a punt in the first half, so exactly. Ace Sanders wouldn't
Clay
have
Harbor
to dress.
He'll
help to some degree,
corner.
But you know where he won't necessarily. Well,
blocking,
although,
he's not going to give you much.
Although Wagman says he's a pretty good blocker, Marcel Jensen.
I had him for 3 sacks allowed. He didn't belong out there.
He got manhandled out there, and if he's not going to give you anything in the passing game, why not just put another offensive lineman out there? Put a reserve offensive lineman and help protect and line him up and make him tackle eligible and just go from there, because he was just getting thrown into the backfield yesterday.
He looked overmatched.
Totally overmatched. Yeah, totally overpowered, which is what they were afraid of.
Yeah.
He's a finesse player is what he is.
I mean, if that's the performance you're going to get, just throw Josh Wells out there and say you're 300 pounds, you're 6'4".
Block somebody.
Just stand there. It may take them an extra half second.
Right,
to get
you're heavier than the other fellow.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we got a break. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Phone lines loading up once again. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Money. The Blake Bortles era has begun. It's 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. This is Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
This is Coach Gus Bradley.
Well, you won't be great till you do your job.
On your flagship station for Jaguars football, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Great drop. Play fake. He gets away from a rush. Good move. Good mobility. Now he throws it down in the middle of the field. That's intercepted. Did not see Toler, and he threw it to him, and Toler picked it off, and he's got room to run to the 25-yard line. Still on his feet. Toler's going to turn this into a pick six. Blake never saw him. Threw it out to the right side. Toler picked it off. His second interception in as many weeks, and that's going to be a touchdown.
Frank Frangie on the call on the Jaguar Radio Network here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. The song is Azamatli. Is that right, Lauren? Azamatli, Love and Hope?
Sure, that's what we'll go with.
That's what I'm going with there, Love and Hope. See, you are so hope in the future and all those things.
Absolutely. New beginning. It's time. We'll see
so
what else
I
come up with.
You get credit for hope.
You do.
My guess. Excellent.
You get all sorts of credit.
The reason we wanted to play that highlight is just to demonstrate that, look, Henne wasn't. He was going three and out, which after a while certainly wears on your defense. It's not a positive thing, but I think Bortles, because of his aggressive nature, is going to make more mistakes than Chad Henne did. He also has the ability to overcome more than Chad Henne did. So I put it this way, you're just going to have to live with some of that, right? I mean, as a young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the one word Gus used yesterday, and he's used often about Blake Bortles, is how he attacks the game, tries to make something happen. Sometimes he tries to take something that's not there, and he'll force something, throw across his body, fine. But also sometimes he'll spin out of a thing, throw it down the downfield for a 26-yard gain.
Right.
So that's going to be the style of play. I mean, the big.
But that's exciting. That's fun.
Yes,
people can get behind that.
That's why I like the Big Ben comparison, because he's a big guy who can move, who can extend the play. There's going to be games where he goes 9 of 22 with 3 picks. You're just going to live with it. And this organization is going to live with it.
I don't think there are going to be games he goes 9 of 22. I think they're going to have him slinging the rock a lot more than 22 times. I know your point. You know, well, where his completion percentage is not great, and he makes some major mistakes and what have you.
And also, there could be a game where they just don't have the ball a lot.
That's a good point.
So
That's a good point.
Which could be this week.
Like every week.
It's astonishing how much this
so
defense
far.
Has been on the
Holy
field.
Cow. That first half, 22 and a half minutes in the first half. Just absolutely abysmal. And like Tony said, if they didn't say, all right, fine, hand it off to Toby Gerhart, down 30 to nothing. Go ahead and pick up that first down.
There was 30 seconds left. They didn't really care. It was just an abysmal first half, and the fans were letting them have it. And on that pick six, Blake will learn he just needed to run for 5 yards on that play. It was there. Everybody was covered on that side of the field. Don't try to force anything in that situation. Take your 5 yards and go to the next play, because that was what was there for him on that play.
I'll say this, and just because it popped in my mind, picturing his last touchdown to Cecil Shorts, I thought that was a terrific throw. I mean, it's a dart, right? And you had to trust your receiver to throw it that hard out in front of his body like that, that he was capable of making that catch. I thought, great catch by Cecil. And just for one positive, Cecil came through seemingly unscathed, got 10 looks in the passing game, didn't convert all of them, but coming out of it without any setbacks, I think, is the biggest thing for him.
Yeah, he exceeded my expectations. He played every snap, which I didn't think was going to be A, the plan, or B, smart.
Right.
But he did that. Hearns played a lot more. So with these receivers, it's almost a day-by-day thing. Can they make it through this practice? Can they make it to Sunday in San Diego? So, you know, the hamstring thing, you figure Lee may be out another week. They haven't really said anything. But, I mean, the Shorts is a good sign. And you're not getting anything out of tight end spot, so you really do need Lee to come back.
Absolutely. All right, 641-1010. Let's go back to the phones. Dave, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. I can talk all day about this stuff, but I did want to hit on a couple of things. You guys had already mentioned it, but first of all, Chad Henne, don't feel sorry for Chad. Chad's making $2 million a year. He knew what was happening going into this. I just think that's a little... And like y'all said, they weren't booing him. They're booing the organization, basically, and what was going on. So I wouldn't feel too bad for him. Second of all, the defense, you know, I'm not saying they're Seattle, but obviously when you get more chances to score, they're going to – those other teams are going to score a lot more points. So those three and outs, if you get one first down, how many minutes do you take off the – off the clock, 2 to 3 at least. So some of those three and outs, you know, you take 6-8 minutes off the clock at the end of the half, they don't score 30 points in that first half. So, it kind of works hand in hand, like you guys said.
How old's the little one with you there?
You know, and lastly, this is my question. I mean, I go on all day about what was going on, but Ryan, one of your colleagues,
don't answer.
He mentioned that Shad Khan was in the back of the interview room yesterday for the first time ever. What, and insinuated that he had his arms folded, might have been pissed. What was the deal with that? What's your speculation?
All right, thank you, Dave.
Well, let's talk about the Chargers. No. Shad was in the back. He was there just as support because he had met with Gus right after the game. And when Gus left the interview room, Shad and Dave Cole were both waiting for him. I mean, Shad had some encouraging words for him. So I think that's what he was there for. It's just for support.
Right. It wasn't like, I'm embarrassed by this defense. Yeah. It was more like, okay,
we got the new guy in there.
And Jessica Blaylock tweeted out yesterday that I assume she was on the elevator with Shad. She said he was asked, you know, how do you feel? And he basically, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I feel pretty good because I've seen the future. And you know what? It's not, I want to win games, but at least now there's something to have some hope about and something to hang your hat on as a football team. All right, let's go to Anthony next up on.
Come on, Anthony. Pick things up here.
Come on, Anthony. Pay attention to Ryan O'Halloran. What's going on?
How you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I got a couple questions. I want to get you guys' opinion on something. This summer, I took a look at Telvin when he was at camp. I saw him in the preseason, and the guy had elite athleticism. I mean, in size and length, and he was like one of the best playmakers on the defense. I know the coaching staff, which was trying to get him, you know, get his weight up to play that Leo outside linebacker position, hoping he'd keep his speed. But looks like he's put some weight on. And he didn't quite look. He looks more average now than he did when he was smaller. I saw him. They were saying he was 220. He looked closer to 200 to me at camp, and he was a machine out there. He looked like a safety to me, a strong safety. And I was wondering, why they didn't take a look at him at strong safety? Was it something like politics with them drafting Cyprian so high in the second round? Because Cyprian is he's a thumper. But that guy doesn't have the elite athleticism to really cover at all. I don't know if you guys noticed it. He makes a lot of mental errors, and he can't recover from them because he didn't have the athleticism like a guy like Tevin. Tevin was much faster than anybody I've seen on that. I mean, he's like faster than everybody on the defense when I saw him at camp.
Tevin Smith's a linebacker. He'll never be a safety, I don't think. But his weight, I'm guessing his weight's gone down as he's got into the season. Tevin's got some of his own issues. You know, he's never going to be on the field on first and second down if he can't hold up against the run. He's getting pushed out of the way by linebacker or by fullbacks and whatever. And you're looking at a guy who is being thrust into things. He's going to make mistakes. There are going to be plays where he makes a play behind the line of scrimmage and blows up a screen pass. But there's going to be times like last week and maybe this week, gets turned the wrong way and makes a wrong read and a guy's running free after he catches the pass. So all part about the maturation. On the Cyprian part, I want to see more, and I've said that all along.
Yeah, look, but it's not about a matter of politics. They didn't draft him to play safety. They draft him to be a lot. They have a specific role in mind. It's not the Otto. It's they want him to be a weak side linebacker. Yeah,
it's not the Leo either.
Right.
The caller mentioned Leo.
I thought he said Otto. Maybe.
He said Leo.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. It's neither one of those.
No.
By the way. But it's not strong safety. They've got a role that they envision for him. And you can understand a guy like that. And you can, I think, deal with a guy like that making mistakes because he is young and he's a bundle of fast twitch nerve endings and he's going to get, he's going to overrun plays. He's an aggressive player. You hope in time that will come along. There are enough veterans out there making mistakes right now.
That's a big thing, is everybody's making mistakes, So you keep trotting a guy like Tevin out there, and you hope he starts making strides week to week.
All right, let's get Will up here next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Will.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, yes. I have two things I want to say. I think the first thing I want to say is I think it's a travesty that, we could have been competitive in three of the games, and we're just putting Blake Bortles in yesterday. Chad used to play for the Dolphins and he didn't do anything there. I mean, I understand the organization wants to get Bortles up and going, but I think Bortles is the future, and I think it's a travesty that we have to go through two and a half really bad games to already know that Henny wasn't going to work out. And then I guess the second thing I want to say is, is the defensive coordinators putting our players in a position to make plays? Because, out there it just seems like they're playing a prevent defense. And every time, the quarterback is back there, they're just making easy throws. No one seems like it's being covered. I don't know. I'm not a defensive coordinator expert to say, hey, it's a defensive coordinator's fault or not. But it just seems like all the players are running free. I don't ever see any players around a catcher trying to make a play other than a few times. I just don't know. And I'll leave it at that.
All right, Will, thank you.
Travesty is a strong word.
That's all right, thank you.
But if you make the move at halftime in the third game, why don't you just do it in the preseason? We're playing armchair quarterback.
And that's the thing. Nobody, they don't think, it's like Dave Caldwell was asked, and I keep going back to this quote, and I forget what forum he said it in. If you are X record, if you're 1-5, what do you think? Would that be Bortles' time? He's, looked at whoever asked him that and said, we don't expect to be that. You don't go into the
maybe they're 0-6.
Well, maybe they are, but that can't be your mindset.
Well, yeah, that's why they never came out publicly declared what their plan was with Bortles. The sitting out the year thing was that was a travesty that people believe that.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
On this date in football history, Ryan O'Howard.
Why would it be shorter?
Talk about the. Wait a minute. Let's get. Hold that thought, all right? All this right. Date in football history is brought to you by the best fence company in Jacksonville. I may have been confused. I thought you said last year's Jaguar flight from London to Jacksonville was shorter than the one from San Fran to London.
The Niners flew from London back to San Francisco, and their flight was like 10 minutes shorter than the Jaguars' flight from London to Jacksonville.
Okay, that's not what I thought you said. Oh, okay. I thought you said the Jags' flight was shorter. I said, why wouldn't it be shorter?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So there you have it. They're back in London this week, the Raiders and the Dolphins.
It's an NFL
that's
rule.
That's how it came up.
That the winners get to fly faster.
That may be it.
Yes.
That may be it. Right now, this date in football history, 1975, the World League. Folded. All you Jacksonville Sharks memorabilia holders, they're not coming back, all right? But hang on to them nonetheless.
Maybe not in that iteration, at least.
Worth something. Right. Then maybe it will. And apparently they talked about expansion not only to Europe, but Asia as well. So that would have gone
over. They
were
dreamers.
That would have gone over well in the World League. 1987, the NFL players went on strike, and it lasted 24 days. I believe the Jaguar defense has been memorializing that over the first portion of the
season. The rim for it? Where's the rim shot?
That was very good. Appreciate that. That's what we have O'Halloran here for. And in 1991, Don Shula recorded his 300th NFL career coaching victory. That is an actual reasonable milestone to mention during this date in football history. Brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Whether it's for your home, for your place of business, the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville will give you a professional free estimate at your convenience. They're not going to do secondary work to anybody in the market. They're as good as anyone out there. 268-1638. Visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Baltimore Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta dealing with another hip injury to the same hip that he had surgery on last year. He is undergoing further tests today, but what is known is that the hip was dislocated in a non-contact injury. There's some concern that this injury could even end the career of Dennis Pitta, but more will be known after the test today. Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph will undergo an MRI. He says he felt something pop in his groin.
Ah!
That's not good. San Diego Chargers running back Danny Woodhead out for the season after suffering a broken fibula and a severe high ankle sprain, which both sound like the same thing.
Oh, what's San Diego going to do next week? No Danny Woodhead, no Ryan Matthews. By the way, Donald Brown, 31 carries, 62 yards
Boom.
Yesterday for San Diego.
That's impressive stuff.
No, that's
a workhorse.
That may be, I mean, let's look up in the annals for that.
Seriously, right? 2 yards a carry. I don't know how many carries.
25 plus.
How many did Matt Asiata have last? Didn't he have like 30 carries for 50-something yards?
He had a day where it was something like that. It was less than 2 yards a carry.
I will look that up for you, Tony. What else do we have going on?
The Seahawks and Broncos needed extra time to determine a winner in yesterday's Super Bowl rematch. The Seahawks scoring a touchdown on the first possession of overtime to win. Seahawks defensive back Deshaun Shee decided that he was done wasting time, proposed to his girlfriend Jessica Martinez on the field about 30 minutes after the game ended. She said yes. And in case you missed it, I will give you just one sentence from Ray Lewis's speech regarding the Baltimore Ravens and alleged cover-up regarding the Ray Rice story. And
Ray
yes,
Lewis's speech?
Yes.
Okay.
These are the actual words that Ray Lewis used on ESPN Sunday morning. Quote, "There are some things you can cover up and some things you can't."
Should just be immediately fired.
Is this going to be the quietest failed to renew a contract in the history of
There are some things you can cover up and some things you can't.
Matt Asiata, 30 carries.
Murder.
For 51 yards in his debut last year for Minnesota.
They just
but he scored three touchdowns. You got to stick with the run, Tony.
Oh, my
goodness. If you're going to eventually pop one, you got to stay with it at that point. 30 for 51. Yes, murder.
It'd be great if Ray says tonight on Monday Night Football, no, I'm just talking about adultery.
Right. I mean, come on. Clearly. We're just talking about it. So how about this? Ray Rice's appeal is apparently going to hinge on the fact that he says the evaluation of the second video was made that TMZ edited the video. You know, like probably cut out different content. Well, doesn't
they left the best part in.
Well, right. Doesn't that suggest that isn't he suggesting that there's possibly something that Janae Palmer Rice did that would mitigate his behavior or would have, quote, caused his behavior, put it in a different context? I mean, what else could he be arguing there? I get what he's saying. If you're saying that it's fake, it's one thing. But if you're just taking out all the time they're standing around, okay, maybe it was time condensed in that regard. You punched her in the face.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter what you think she did to provoke you.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah,
he's going
he's going down the wrong road instead of just, hey, I was wrong.
Right. Just yeah. At this point in time, you're not going to win that. But, look, I understand. I think in his case, there are a lot of questions. Did he, in fact, give them the full picture? And if he did, am I being punished twice for the same thing? And, look, as distasteful as the act was, he was punished. And I would fight for my rights if I were Ray Rice as well. And so he has every right to do that.
It's just and that ESPN story, which was brilliantly reported.
The Outside the Lines?
Yeah, yeah. Brilliantly reported. And because Kevin Van Valkenburg has a Baltimore background, so used those sources as how Ray Rice felt betrayed and offended by the fact he was cut by the Ravens. I mean, that's the least of your problems, you know? And he came off looking bad in that one, even worse than usual, but also just, how can you think nothing should surprise you once that video came out?
There were a couple of things that were interesting in that. However, he said that he felt like that Bisciotti was trying to buy him off because immediately within minutes after releasing him, he's texting him, hey, yeah, you got a job here in the future mentoring young players or, you know, you say, well, how could he mentor young players? Well, guys who screwed up can turn into good
several
mentors.
Several examples of that.
Sure. They turn their lives around. But he said he felt like they were trying to buy him off.
The body wasn't even cold yet.
Right.
Figuratively speaking.
Right, obviously. Yeah. But it was strange that the original version of that story, first of all, Bob Lee went on TV, and I didn't see it, but I saw the reporting of it, and people had DVR'd his reporting of it that made some claims of things that were going to be in the story that would have been even more damning for the NFL that never showed up in the story. Hmm. So I wonder if they had all their ducks in a row. And they also mentioned that this guy, A.Q. Shipley, I think is his name.
He was here yesterday.
Right. Was at his house watching the season opener with Ray Rice. He plays for the Colts. So if you're going, I think that one is going to hurt because how can you get that wrong if you're doing that story? That seems like one that you would, I don't know, Google A.Q. Shipley. He's playing football. He was not at Ray Rice's house for the season opener. So, at least, unless they were playing at a different time, or there's some circumstance, but that's something that's been pointed out.
Yeah, he signed September 1 with the Colts. So he was
with the Colts.
Yeah, he was at the Colts.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Hey, you just Googled that, didn't you?
It took
you can
me
work for Outside
seconds.
The Line.
Yeah, I can grow a late life, midlife crisis beard like Bob Lee.
Oh, man. What's wrong? What did Bob Lee do to you now?
Well, I think, you know, his moral high horse is a little out of control right now, especially on the Redskins nickname.
Yeah, but, you're
oh, and also, and
you're
also,
a Washington fan.
Not a Washington fan.
You're a former Washington fan.
I was anti-Washington fan when I recovered that team. But one more thing on Bob Lee. He's making Teddy Bruschi look out to be Rosa Parks after the Roger Goodell press conference. This is a salt of the earth guy calling for Roger's resignation. We should really pay attention to this. Shut up, Bob. Shut up, Teddy. Okay, moving on.
Wait a minute now. Why should Teddy Bruschi shut up if he thinks the commissioner should be out of the National Football League?
He gave no basis. You know,
sure he did. He said. I mean, I'm paraphrasing again, but there's a lack of public confidence in the office. That's basically what his argument boiled down to. How can you take Roger Goodell seriously now? This is a guy that no one has any confidence in, and he's leading my sport. Bruschi, you know, that's how he feels as a former player.
I like Roger.
Well, you like Roger. See, I would say then you're not unbiased on this argument here.
Well, I just disagree with Teddy because he's saying it for personal purposes. He's trying to get on Countdown. That's my deal.
If you're a talking head on TV, though, and that's your opinion, I mean, that's you think he's, I don't know if you think he's making up his opinion. Don't we want guys to have strong opinions and express that? ESPN has $1 billion a year, whatever it is, contract to broadcast Monday Night Football. I think the feeling is a lot more of those guys would go the other way or at least sit on their hands a little bit and not call for his outright ouster. No?
Who knows? I mean, they have a guy on there up every week who thinks the team he plays for is going to move to London.
This is true. The team he used to play for. Tony talked to him on Friday night, I believe.
I did.
I couldn't help but think of that.
Did he come on the radio and say that the Colts were going to beat the Jaguars 50-0? Because usually that's what he does say.
No, he didn't say that either. He just talked about that big
win. Had he
win.
Said that and it was halftime, you would have been like, wow, you underestimated.
Sticks are honed.
All right. We'll come back, get more of your calls in 641-1010. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Wild West is North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories with revolvers, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, sporting arms, you name it, they've got it all. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns. Go to guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or stop by Wild West Guns and Gold on Lane Avenue. Give them a call at 693-0777. Our Monday sponsor, Wild West Guns and Gold. Our number here, 641-1010. Back with more of your calls, more on the Jags. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, True Teal. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I've not decided on the newest photo contest, but I will, hopefully by tomorrow. I'll have it up on the Facebook page, Foundation Professionals of Florida. We hooked up one of our winners with a pair of tickets to the home opener. The next pair of tickets will be given away are a pair of tickets to Johnny Bench, as some call him, and the Cleveland Browns come to town.
Oh!
I just got that.
You get it? And we've got tickets to that one as well. Don't have them for the Pittsburgh game, but Foundation Professionals of Florida will hook you up with a pair to go see Jacksonville, Cleveland. Be on the lookout for our next photo contest on Jaguars Today on the Facebook page there. Foundation Professionals of Florida, giving you the peace of mind that your home's foundation is safe. Working with your insurance company, financing is available. Of course, they're licensed and insured. 287-2690, foundationprosfl.com if you've got issues with your home's foundation. 641-1010 is the number. The cantankerous Ryan O'Halloran is here with us. Don't laugh. You know it's true. It's all right. That's who you are. Keep it interesting. You're a cynic. You're definitely, you're a scoffer and an eye roller. Right. And that, whatever that was.
Shrugger.
Yeah, shrugger. All right. Let's get some calls going here. 641-1010. Quincy, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Morning. Ryan made a really, really good point, at the very beginning of the show. I remember him, he was asking Gus Bradley if he considered making a change at the defensive coordinator position with taking some of the control with maybe away from Bob Babich. And that kind of reminded me of the time that the same thing happened was with the Chicago Bears, where he was the coordinator. And prior to that, Ron Rivera was the coordinator. They had made me do some research, and I found that the Bears' defense was, like, ranked fifth. And then when Babich took over, they were, like, in the bottom half, and they were known for not having any pressure on the quarterback, missed assignments, and things of that nature. And then Lovie Smith demoted him to linebacker's coach, and the Bears' defense improved. So I was just curious to think maybe that Babich might be part of the problem because the talent on that defense is there. And I don't understand how they can play that bad, but it just reminded me of how much of a change maybe with the coordinator that we might see a much better defense.
Well, good stuff in terms of the history of the Bears, because all that is accurate. I don't believe the talent is here in some cases. So if I'm looking at it from Gus's perspective, I got this job because I was a defensive coordinator that made the playoffs. If I want to stay a head coach in this league, my team damn well better play some good defense, because that's my specialty. So if that means being more hands-on, making changes, spearheading some stuff, do it.
What about the role of Dave Caldwell on the defensive side, at least? I think people are excited about the potential of Blake Bortles, and we're cautiously optimistic, maybe more than cautiously optimistic, that he's going to get that pick right, and that's clearly the most important pick. I think Allen Robinson has looked fantastic from what we've seen of him. Allen Hurns is a great pickup. Marquise Lee, we'll find out. Work in progress there. You can argue Luke Jokel. You know, didn't hear his name called as much yesterday. Of course, you were playing against a team that had one sack through two games.
Yeah, they're sort of picking on other spots.
Correct.
But he needed to pick it up.
But, all right, so let's forget the offensive side for a minute. I mean, it's your decision on who to sign as free agents, the guys they brought in, some of these young players. That secondary is all the orchestration of Dave Caldwell, right? I mean, he put that whole thing together. Is it too soon to say he swung and missed? Or is there some fundamental flaw in the defense, like the scheme, how it's being called, lack of aggressiveness, whatever you want to pin it on?
Well, I think Dakota Watson was a swing and a miss. He came here hurt. You know, he had surgery right after he signed. So did they got a bill of goods on that one? They didn't address linebacker in the draft. They maybe felt that wasn't a great position there. It just seemed like were you overestimating some of the talent on the roster going in with the group you have now up front. I mean, you hit on Cedric Marks last year. You know, I think Red Bryan's playing okay, but he's not a pass rusher. And then on the back end, you got second year guys that maybe haven't taken big a leap as you thought they would. And a lot of places that you're swing and miss maybe is a reach, but I think at the linebacker spot, could they have done more?
Yeah, it's tough because I think you only have so many draft picks, right? And I think with linebacker, I think that's a position that you can fill with some decent veterans. I don't think everybody needs to be the young 23-year-old building block. And I think that, you know, that's in part why I applauded them going out and getting a Chris Clemons and a Red Bryant, because you're able to sprinkle those guys in.
Yeah, you need bridge guys.
I think the biggest swing and miss is not re-signing Darryl Smith, really, when he had the opportunity to. He sat out there in free agency, an off-season ago forever. And the Ravens picked him up and then gave him a 4-year contract extension because he played so well, and he continues to play well.
How about Rasheen Mathis?
I don't know. That he comes and goes. You know what I mean? You have an aging corner that clearly didn't seem to be all that interested in tackling. Not that that's his primary function, but I don't consider that as big of a swing and a miss as I do, because for one thing, with Shaq Harris up there, they seem to bring in, you know, every former Jaguar they can into Detroit with his influence over Martin Mayhew. And I think guys like that get a longer rope in with that particular organization than they would in almost any place in the National Football League. Let's go to Kevin next up here on 1010XL. Hey. Good morning, Kevin.
Mike, hey. Yesterday was the first time that I have really questioned Dave Caldwell in my mind. I was on his bandwagon and thought it was a great hire by Shad Khan. And yesterday we just got dominated on both sides of the ball. We couldn't score. I took my 7-year-old son to the game, did all the pregame 40-yard dashes and things like that. And then we sit out there in the hot sun and we can't stop anybody. And with Shad Khan,
I was going to ask him his time in the 40.
I don't know if they had the stopwatch going out there.
Okay. He's probably speaking for a lot of people. Disgusted.
Yeah, I mean, I think there. You know, I do think, and this is the nature of sports fandom, and that's fine. It's the way it's always going to be. There are calls for the head of X and X and X, and we need to fire this guy. I mean, you got people right now convinced that they're never going to do anything as long as Gus Bradley is the head coach because he's too nice of a guy, right? Pete Carroll seems to have the same kind of general philosophy, right? He won the Super Bowl last year. So I don't think that, you know, in fact, I got a tweet this morning that said, the only way you win in the National Football League is if you have a guy like Tom Coughlin. I don't think that's true at all. You know, some nice guys fail, some nice guys succeed, and vice versa. But I do think, it's pointless because I don't think there's any real jeopardy for Dave Caldwell in particular, because his future is tied to the success of Blake Bortles more than anything. If Blake Bortles turns into a star quarterback, it makes up for just about every other whiff you've had, right? I mean, unless you're 0 for everything, and I don't think he's going to be 0 for everything. You know, not every GM No GM has a perfect record. It doesn't matter. Bill Polian had a great record of 6 or 7 or 8 years in a row picking first-round picks and built the core of a successful team. Whiffed on plenty of others, you know. Bill Belichick whiffs on plenty of guys. But they've also got a track record of success and winning. So you have that to fall back on.
Yeah. Because, I mean, those guys, you look at specifically Brady, he's been effective with – no-name receivers.
Right, anything around him. Yeah. Right.
He lifts guys up.
So. They've got a problem, though. They can't pass protect right now, and they've got no deep threat whatsoever. Everybody's sitting on all the underneath stuff, and Tom Brady's just holding on the football, waiting for stuff to come open, and he's taking a beating right now. My Super Bowl pick, not looking too strong right now, despite the victory yesterday. You shouldn't have to squeak one out over the Oakland Raiders.
You shouldn't.
Vince Wilfork with the key interception inside the 10-yard line.
Who had that?
Yesterday. I mean, honestly, he was a surprise. It was a pretty impressive play just to catch that ball. It was ricocheting pretty good. All right, let's get Adam on the line next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm well. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. The game was definitely frustrating yesterday. I'm not off the Bradley, you know, bandwagon by any means. We're not getting enough consistent pressure on defense, but I think if you look at it, like you said in his press conference, those guys, some of them were getting there. They're just not getting home. They're not making the play. You know, the scheme doesn't seem terrible on defense per se. They need a little more pressure, but when the guys get there, they got to make the play, like you said, and that's just not happening. And I think you guys hit on it where we don't have the players yet. There's still another draft and free agent period away from getting there. You know, it is still only year two, and they purged this roster. So there's got to be some more time that's given there. Hopefully the offense picks it up with Bortles. There's no doubt that they're going to be better there, I think. But we just got to continue to be patient, man. It is frustrating. I'm a 12-year season ticket holder. I'm in that 30, that Jag generation. I'm 30 years old, you know, so I've had them since I was 18. And, you know, I'm still there, man, and I still have hope, but they got to get some more players, and I think it's going to work. We just got to be patient. Those guys got to start making plays, man.
Well, you hit on two things. One, yeah, granted, another draft, another free agency, fine. But I think you want to see progress from the guys who are here. And
it shouldn't look as bad through three games as it did last year.
Because this is two drafts, two free agencies.
Right. Should they be 10-6? No, nobody's saying that though. They should not be getting worked by 75 points, by a 25 point average in the first 3 weeks of the season. After a year in the system and all these things, if the system is good, and that's why it's tough to assign sole blame. Ultimately, the buck is going to stop with the coach and the GM. That's farther down the line if things didn't turn around. Now they turned around last year, but we had calls yesterday on the post game. What is it about, you know, the start of the season that are these guys not prepared for the start of the season? Is it injuries? Is it, I mean, they knew who was on the roster. There's a lot of unspent salary cap money out there, and I get it. You don't want to go all in on mega contracts, but boy, it seems like if you had maybe spent another $10 million and sprinkled it around to a couple of key positions, you could have improved the talent based on this roster even more considerably than you have. I don't know what the answer is. And that's the problem. There's so many things going wrong on that side of the football. There is no one answer that you can just say, hey, let's do this. Ultimately, coordinators do lose their jobs because something drastic has to be done.
And that's the biggest problem. There's more than one problem.
Right.
You know, if you could say, if they're doing a lot of things well on defense, but we're a little leaky against the run. Okay, just put another guy in the box. Well, if you do, you know, but they can't
bench this one guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting burned, but they're all getting burned.
Yeah, so it's, you can't bench nine guys.
No, you can't. The guys on the street are not better, by the way. People say it can't be any worse. Well, it can be worse. It can always be worse. You didn't think it could get worse than last week. It was 30-0 at the half. So don't ever suggest that it can't. Let's get Joe the Cabbie in next year on Jaguars Today. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hello,
Joe.
Yeah, not.
Who's there?
Oh.
Oh, who?
0-3, go Jags.
Thank you, Joe.
This is the worst shtick I've ever. If you're going to tell a knock-knock joke,
a little amusing.
Do something good. I mean, I said, who's there, and this is what I get?
Oh.
Next caller.
Well, he is really getting into it today. I think Joe was done. I think that was called a drive-by. You know, you state your case, you get out, he dropped the mic, and he hopped back in the cab.
Is that a pop-off? Is that for another show?
Maybe. This guy. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in. Still time to go. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. Coming up, we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today. Gauging your optimism. 0-3 right now. The Jags getting outscored by an average of 25 points a week. But number 5 has arrived. Now that Blake Bortles is the quarterback, how many games do you expect to win here in Jacksonville over the next 13? We'll have some of your responses to that. Coming up next, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran for the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. It's Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. We're just talking about how I thought it was so eerily similar, Florida State's performance on Saturday night, to what we've seen from the Jags. Just very, you know, McGuire kind of Henny-esque in terms of, you know, he knows what to do. He's not a playmaker. Held the ball too long in some circumstances, but he was under constant duress. Offensive line, absolutely terrible. Ryan, you made the point. Cam Irving should have come out. They should all come out. Anytime you feel it's a pretty good certainty that you're going to get picked in a certain range.
I mean, top 3 rounds?
He was projected as a second round pick had he come out last year. And at one point he was considered to be a top 15 kind of selection. Now that may not have held up through the draft process. He lost himself some money on Saturday night, from the looks of things. Today's Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight asked you, Jag fans, now that you got number 5 in, what's it going to be? 13-0 the rest of the way?
How'd you know I was going to say that?
Well, you see, you're behind because we've already had 16 wins predicted because don't stop with the regular season. Let's just keep marching, right? You're going to get I would assume 13-3 is good enough for a first round bye, right? So then you win the next
AFC
3.
AFC goes through Duval.
It may, in fact. Now it does. Now it does. Tony, what do we get?
From Nick, we got 7. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag I Believe. Hashtag Bortles MVP. Hashtag Do We Play Defense? From Joshua, honestly, 5 wins at most. Defense can't keep giving up that many points. Hashtag Do Your Job. Hashtag Jaguars Today. From Mike, we got they'll go 7-6 over the next 13. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Our area man is our prediction of 16 because they're going to win the Super Bowl, baby.
Yes.
Hashtag Jaguars Today. From Ben, 3 max. Improved O will help out a tired D, but the D is mismatching their soft zone is getting exploited. Hashtag Jaguars Today. From @IrishJag. All of them, or 5, maybe. Hashtag Jaguars Today. From Eric, going to stay with my preseason prediction and say 6. Defense has to get better first. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag Ninja Bortles. From Nathaniel, I will go out on a limb and say 7. That's no limb compared to 16, Nathaniel. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag defense, don't let me down. Hashtag fewer 3 and outs, please. From Pete, we got optimistically with teal color glasses, 4 wins. Hashtag, when do the former Seahawks arrive? Hashtag Jaguars Today.
Oh.
From Benjamin, we get, I've said 6 from the start, so I'll stick with it. Not too confident right now, though. Hashtag Jaguars Today. And from Joey, with B2 playing quarterback, that's worth a couple wins. Maybe more if he plays both ways. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag, can B2 tackle? Well, he played linebacker
in high
school.
He's big enough, right? He's big enough.
Yeah.
Go lay some lumber out there. B2 Bomber. That is what we're going with, by the way. Again, yesterday I get the BB gun suggested. Just sounds so, you know, so non-skin breaky kind of thing. You know, oh, I got shot with a BB gun in the leg. Yeah, just left a welt. It's not enough for me. I want carpet bombing is what I want. I want the rest of the NFL left in shambles. On the Facebook page, got a lot of the same. Got anywhere from none to 13-0 and everything pretty much in between as far as that goes. I guess, and it's not a tangible thing because you say, well, X team historically sucked and they turned it around. Well, what made it turn around? What would you give credit to for the most part for the Jags being able to get on a hot streak and win 4 out of 5 games last year?
Well, they're playing teams that may have quit.
Okay.
So that helped. But you look back on it now, okay, they weren't doing a ton on offense. They were hitting a couple big plays, I think that, and they're getting some turnovers. So you know, produce, if you get some takeaways, some short fields for an offensive that's challenged, that's how you do it. That's where I think Bortles will help this offense. He'll take some chances that will produce some big plays.
The big plays.
Yeah. And so.
Gonna have to be more aggressive though to get those turnovers, I think.
I totally agree. And, you know, when you're aggressive, you make more plays and you allow more plays. Well, you pretty much can't allow any more big plays than these guys
are
doing.
That's the point. If this is what you're gonna do playing conservatively.
Flip the script.
Right. Just put your hair on fire and go after it.
And this is one thing I wrote about on Sunday, and I asked players about this, and they scoffed. What's wrong with panicking? You know, why not change it up? I mean, if Gus would have went with Bortles on last Wednesday, that wouldn't have been a panic move. That would have been a reality move. You know, let's say you want to blitz 65% of the time. Who cares if that comes off? You're trying to improve the product that's right now putrid.
By the way, Lauren added the other similarity between Jacksonville and Florida State was number 5 was on the sidelines, at least for the first half.
At least for the first half. And it was supposed to be only the first half for Florida State.
Did Blake
too.
Come out for warm-ups too? Did he come out and throw it around in warm-ups as well?
Oh, my gosh. Florida State.
Hmm. Undefeated, baby.
They've handled that situation so well.
Undefeated, Tony. I know not what you talk about. All right, let's go back to the phones and close out with some of your phone calls today at 641-1010. Tony, you're next up on Jaguars today. I'm sorry, Chris, you're next up on Jaguars today. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just got a few points. I thought the biggest issue with the defense was the tackling. I saw too many missed tackles. I lost count. And the... I was at the Redskins game in D.C. too, and I thought saw the same thing. And second, with the offense, you guys were talking earlier about how, like, Tom Brady makes other people better. Well, I saw when Bortles came in, I thought Joku played a little bit better. Joku looked like he would move around a little bit, and you know how defender ends coming off the ball know that Henning's going to be in the same spot every time? With Bortles moving around, he makes him a little bit better, I think.
Here. I think he makes him look better, maybe. I don't think he actually makes him better. You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's Bortles that is better at avoiding pressure. I don't know if there was any less pressure. The play that he spun in reverse field, he's going to roll left, and he came back all the way right and threw it to Will T.
One of the weirdest plays you'll ever see. The guy's coming right at Jokel. Todman chips the guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Hits him so hard.
Yeah.
He spins him out of the way. Joku was right there. Joku couldn't do anything about it. I mean, I urge people to go back and watch the Bortles sack.
Yeah, he chipped him into a sack. It's unreal.
Yeah, the one where the spin out one.
Yeah.
No,
it was Joku had him set up. It was a defensive end coming at Joku. Joku had him set up. They wanted Todman to chip on the play on the defensive end. Todman chipped him so hard that he knocked him a gap inside of Joku. And he got a free run at the quarterback on the play.
Which one are you talking about? The one where he actually sacked him or the one where he spun out of it?
It's when he spun out of it and threw it to Todman in the flat.
Point being, if that play had been Chad Henne gets hit right there in that spot because while Chad Henne's not as immobile as some, he's not Blake Bortles in the terms of doing a full body spin move reverse field and make a play going the other way. Let's get Daryl up here next on 1010XL. Good morning, Daryl.
Well, I'm feeling good. Man, let me tell you something. Y'all got to look at the positive. When Blake got in the game, everybody played better. Now, look at the score the first half. If the defense so sorry, why they couldn't keep scoring after halftime? Blake gave everybody hope. And look at the line. Did you see how the line stopped blocking? I had people at my house. I was like, look, you starting to finally see holes in the running game. Yeah, I know it wasn't, you know, the best, but guys on that team, I heard all more. I kept hearing people say, oh, this team don't have no talent. I'm telling you, people should start seeing a different Jaguar team. I've seen him suck the life out of my Dolphins years ago, like he did the Jaguars. He gone now. Blake in there. I'm not wearing rose colored glasses. I just see something. Maybe I'm just seeing something people don't see. He can make better plays. And look how he threw this ball downfield. It felt so good to see the ball go downfield. And people talk about the interception he threw. But guess what? When I heard a defensive player say about Brett Favre. He said, we don't worry about Brett Favre. He throw an interception because we know if we get the ball back, he's going to score us a touchdown. When Chad throw an interception, you know, oh, God, that's the end of the game. We can't do nothing else.
Blake, I just see stuff y'all people don't see, man. They got some talent. They're going to put it all together. It's going to be, I'm not saying next week now, because they got a hard game flying out there. That's going to be the beast next week. But think about it. After the next game, you got Pittsburgh, one of a game, even though Pittsburgh won last night. They got Tennessee, one of a game. They got Cleveland, winnable game. You see, Cleveland looking good, but
no, I got you. I think you're right. No, they the schedule definitely softens up. Darren, we got, I appreciate the call. We got to jump in here because we're running short on time. I do think when you take shots downfield, it loosens things up in the running game. That's pretty elementary. I think part of why, you know, I think when teams are up 30-0 at the half, in their mind at halftime, it's over.
Yeah.
And don't expect it to be 60-0 as an indication of did they continue to play well or not. To me,
I mean, them going for fourth and one inside with the Jaguar 10.
Sure.
Could easily kick the field goal.
Sure.
47-14.
Sure.
So
I mean,
when you're up 30-0, you throw out the game plan when you're down 30-0. You throw it out when you're up 30-0.
Right. So
I think it was good for the Jags and for Bortles that at least for the first quarter or so that he was in that game, the Colts kept running the defense that they had run for the first half. They still blitzed. They brought six at times against Blake Bortles. So he got to see that kind of thing. And I think he held up pretty well with all of the things that were being thrown at him during that second half yesterday.
I mean, I got, with Bortles in the game, I have them blitzing 11 out of 29 dropbacks. So 10 times they sent 5, twice they drive 6. So they didn't call off the dogs. So they did send them some zone pressures at him.
There's no question the offense played much better.
Sure.
With Blake in there. I just think, you know, if you're going to do comparison shopping and say, well, it's 30-0 and the Jags won the second half 17-14. Let's start that game 0-0, and if they win the first half 17-14, I'll be impressed.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying they can't do that. I'm just saying that's not a true indication to me of necessarily how the Colts played in the second half, because I do think there's a natural tendency a lot of times when you get up that big to just kind of relax, for lack of a better term. All right? You okay with that?
Yes.
All right. Criticize me later on Twitter, though.
What'd you say?
Anything. No. I don't know. Dude, whatever I said. Doesn't matter, because I'll miss you. I won't see you again till next week. And, you know, it's your spirit that lifts me on a Monday and sets me up for the next 4 days.
Hey, I'm here to help.
I appreciate that, man. Ryan O'Halloran for the Florida Times Union. What do you have coming up in terms of coverage this week?
Well, we got a lot of quarterback stuff. We're hashing it out. So, but we're not going to ignore the other problems on this roster. We'll ask the question: what can they do to fix this defense? Because, like you said, they're not bringing in new players. So, a lot of Bortles stuff.
Everyone needs to go back and take a good long hard look at the film.
Such
and
a
look
cliche.
In the mirror. I mean, what else are you going to do? But what can you specifically do? Can you run different schemes? Can you perform? Is it all a matter of we're putting them in the right position and they're not getting it done? I agree with Darryl. Tackling's horrible. Tackling's been bad for the most part this year, and I expected that. Again, we see – don't buy anything ever that happens before kickoff of week one, because we get wrapped up in it to some degree every single year. One of the most disappointing things, certainly maybe the most disappointing thing to some people, would be the fact that you wasted 10 quarters – of the career of Blake Bortles. But what's done is done. The Blake Bortles era has begun. That does it for us today. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. They bring you the show every Monday here. For Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, we encourage you to follow him on Twitter for all the latest Jaguar news, @RyanO'Halloran. I'm Mike Dempsey for Fat Tony.